I'd like to start in 2 Samuel. Chapter 24. 2 Samuel 24, starting in verse 16. So this is after when David had Joab go out and number the people of Israel, and it displeased the Lord. He didn't want him to do that, and so I don't think it's in here, but the Lord gave him an option as to how he would, whether he'd want to flee from his enemies or I forget what the other two. I know one of them was to fall into the hands of the Lord, and so the Lord poured out a pestilence upon the land, and a number of people were killed. And verse 16, and when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, "It is enough. Stay now thine hand." And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Arunah the Jebusite. And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people, and said, "Lo, I have sinned, and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house." And Gad came that day to David, and said unto him, "Go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite." And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. And Arunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Arunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Arunah said, "Wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant?" And David said, "To buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people." And Arunah said unto David, "Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments, and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Arunah as a king give unto the king." And Arunah said unto the king, "The Lord thy God be accepted, or the Lord thy God accept thee." And the king said unto Arunah, "Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. So here we have a situation where it really was David's sin that brought upon this pestilence, and even to the point where David was saying, "Lord, let it be upon me and upon my house." It was me, you know, bring the plague upon me and my house, but these sheep, what have they done? You know, they don't deserve what was happening unto them. But it was really Israel as a whole that was a problem. But anyways, Arunah comes to David and is offering him everything. "Look, here's the land. You can have the land. Here's the oxen. You can sacrifice what you want. You can use the instruments that I have. Whatever you need, I'm just going to give it to you." And what just always sticks out to me in my mind is David says, "No, I will buy it at a price." And he says, "Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which does cost me nothing." So we cannot really give unto God an offering that costs us nothing. It really has no value if we're offering him something that belongs to someone else, that's really not a sacrifice of any kind on our part. And David understood that, and it was important for him that offering be something that cost him something. Because in that, in it costing something or having a price or being a sacrifice makes it valuable. It makes it valuable in what he's offering. Let's go to Genesis chapter 4. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering." So if you remember, Cain had given an offering as well, and I think it was in verse 3. It says, "And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord." Which seems fine, right? He brought an offering unto the Lord. I mean, it was of the fruit of the ground. But there was something specific about Abel's sacrifice that was significant. It says that he gave of the firstlings of his flock. And, you know, I was just imagining in my mind's eye, say, Cain bringing of the fruit of his, you know, of his land. What if it was the discards? What if it was the seconds, right? The ones that maybe he didn't really want anyways. The value of it. It makes it not so much of a sacrifice, right? It's just an offering. But maybe it wasn't the firstlings or the first fruits. But it says that Abel gave of the firstlings. And I was just thinking about it. I'm not a farmer and I don't raise cattle or anything like that, but I would imagine that when you have a flock, that first one means something to you, right? I mean, it's valuable. And so Abel valued his relationship with God enough to give him the best or give him the first, the what was very dear to him or dear to his heart. And he offered that unto the Lord. It was an offering unto the Lord, and it meant something to him. And I wonder if the offering that Cain offered meant much to him. It doesn't really say, but it doesn't say that he gave of his best. And it actually says that the Lord was not pleased with the offering that Cain offered. And that there could have been a remedy to that. But Cain was not really interested in a remedy. Let's go to Genesis 22. Remember, we have a mindset of here that I will not offer unto the Lord that which costs me nothing. You know, I think that a lot of times in our day and age, people want to serve God without it costing them anything. Yes. They want the privilege of being adorned in the name of Christ or being named as a child of God. But yet, they don't want it to cost them anything. They just want to be able to go through life and not have it affect them anywhere. In Genesis 22, verse 2, it says, "He said, Take now thy son." I'll read 1-2. "And it came to pass after these days that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I." So here the Lord is talking to Abraham, and he says, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." This son Isaac, his beloved son, his only son in the eyes of, I mean, it says it's his only son. Obviously, he had Ishmael as a son, but this was the promised son that he was to have through Sarah. This was a special child to Abraham. The most special that he had in his life. I tend to believe that he valued this son probably more than his own life. And the Lord asked him to offer him up. This son in whom you love, I want you to offer him to me on the Mount of Moriah, a burnt offering, a sacrifice that cost dearly. I would think that Abraham was looking upon this offering and he would have much rather have given 100 or 1,000 calves than to offer his own son. But it's an offering that means something. It has value. It shows his heart toward God and his willingness to serve the Lord and his dedication to him, his commitment to him. This was meaningful. It was not just a run-of-the-mill offering of what he was offering unto the Lord. And we know the story that the Lord allowed him to go all the way up to the mountain. He was allowed him to have his son on the altar and was to the point of stretching forth the knife to slay his son. And it says that the Lord prevented him as he was about to slay his son as an offering, as a sacrifice unto God, because the Lord had required it. It had value. You can look at that and saying that it was almost like his firstlings or his first fruits, his only begotten son. And he was willing to offer him unto the Lord because the Lord had asked him to. 2 Chronicles 3:1. So that spot where David offered up the sacrifice on the threshing floor of Araunah, and this spot where Isaac was to be sacrificed, or what seemed to be a sacrifice, took place, was actually the same place or same vicinity. 2 Chronicles 3:1. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornah the Jebusite. In that same place is where the temple of the Lord was built by Solomon. And I venture that it's a similar place or very nearby where Jesus was sacrificed for you and for me on the cross, where he was crucified. Very precious sacrifice. An offering made for you and for me. The Lord gave his best, if you will, in giving his son to die on a cross for you and for me. In John chapter 3, very popular verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave a sacrifice, if you will, or an offering to you and to me for our deliverance and for our salvation. And it wasn't the seconds. You know, it wasn't something that didn't really matter to him anyways. But it was something very precious and very dear unto him. It was actually a sacrifice. And I don't know that you can really have a sacrifice, or at least not a meaningful sacrifice, without it costing something or being very valuable. And so that's what we have, is God gave something very valuable for us. Ephesians 5:2. We'll go ahead and read 1-2. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. You know, I was thinking about it, how we often look upon it as God's sacrifice for man, and it was. But there's another element involved there in that Jesus offered his life willingly. He agreed to it, or he was in on it. The sacrifice that he gave wasn't a forced sacrifice in the sense that it was against his will. But he said in his heart and before the Lord, not my will, but thine will be done. And I believe there's another scripture where he says, no man takes my life, but I give it freely. And so there was a sacrifice made, and that God gave of his only begotten Son, but also a sacrifice made in that Jesus Christ offered himself as a sacrifice for you and me. Something very valuable in giving of his own self for you and for me. And it wasn't just a sacrifice of a moment's time where you run out in front of a moving car and you die instantly in the saving of somebody else. But it was a torturous death that he endured. A real sacrifice. To be willing to do that and to lay himself out to die on a cross. No greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus Christ did that. He laid down his life, a sacrifice for our sins, a sacrifice that we might be delivered and freed and restored and have a relationship with God again, that we might be new creation or new creature in Christ Jesus. He offered all that so that we could have victory in Christ. He paid a huge sacrifice for that. A lot of people paid sacrifices, gave offerings, things that cost them dearly for what we have today. I mean, you can look at the disciples and the lives that they led and the things that they had to endure and to suffer and in order to get the gospel out, in order for us to be able to hear the good news, the sacrifices that they made, the things that they endured in order to make that possible. It was meaningful. It was valuable. And we are experiencing the value of it today. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, I was talking earlier about the mindset many people have, and that they want the privileges, or they want the blessings, or they want the outcome of service unto the Lord, but they don't really want the sacrifice. They don't really want to have to give of themselves. You know, really the mentality of the world as a whole is to avoid sacrifice at any cost. Eliminate all your sacrifice, or eliminate all your expenses, or anything that could create problems going forward, that was going to eliminate your profits or whatever. People shrink back from sacrifice of self, to have to pay a cost for anything. They'd much rather have the easier road, the road without opposition, the road without conflict, the life with, I don't know, the life of ease. You know, I'm all for praying for the protection of God, for the hedge of protection, that He would protect us and keep us, and that no harm would come against us, and that all of our existence and everything that is in our lives be a blessing and prosperous and glorious. But I know that there's a piece of this way in service to God that sacrifice is very valuable and very necessary for it to mean something to you and to me. If we're not putting anything into it, or if it's not really costing us anything, it takes a lot of the meaning out of it. It takes a lot of the blessing out of it. It's important and valuable that we have a sacrifice to give. And it's not a sacrifice of He can have the extra. Or, you know, He can have what I don't really want. But are we really at the point in our hearts where we're willing to give God what's most valuable to us? What's on the highest on our list of value? Do we value our relationship with Him in such a way as to be willing to do that? And, you know, it's not easy. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's easy. It's not easy. It's only by the grace of God. I have no idea how Abraham was willing to go up to that mountain and do what he was about to do. I have no idea why he would have such a faith and such a confidence in God, a trust in God, that he knew that God was going to fulfill his promises, even if he was to follow through with it. It says in Hebrews that he believed that God was even able to raise him from the dead, if necessary, to bring about the promises that he had made to him. It's not easy. The sacrifices that we make unto the Lord, the things that we may have to stand against, will not be easy. I'll tell you, the easy way is compromise. The easy way is going back. But it's not going to have the results that you want. No, it's not easy. None of it was easy. It wasn't easy for Jesus to sit up on that cross and let people spit on him and whip him and ridicule him. And that wasn't easy. I don't know how you read the scriptures, but it don't look like it was easy to me. It was a sacrifice. And there are sacrifices that we will make in our lives to serve the Lord. And they're not going to be easy to make. It says that we offer ourselves a living sacrifice unto God, which is our reasonable service. It's not him asking something that's unreasonable to us. He gave his best. Jesus gave his best. We see over and over in the scriptures where they gave their best unto the Lord. And it was pleasing unto God. I fully believe that Abel gave his best unto the Lord. He valued his relationship with God and he gave his best. And we have examples of that being pleasing unto the Lord throughout Scripture. David says, I refuse to make an offering unto God that costs me nothing. I don't care if you want to give me your whole house and all your land and everything else. I'm not going to do it. This offering will cost me something. And it's going to be valuable to me. And I'm going to feel that value. I'm going to experience that cost. so that it will be valuable to me, and so that it will be pleasing unto the Lord. We are going to have to make sacrifices in life. It's just the way it is. It's what makes our salvation meaningful and valuable, and it's what's going to make heaven an amazing, amazing place to be. To be able to know that we've endured unto the end and we've made it, and the Lord has said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord." And it's going to be meaningful. And so we will need to sacrifice. You know, and I, like I said, the mentality of the world is to avoid it. Take care of yourself. Pamper yourself. You know, treat yourself. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. You know, people think you're crazy to do something a harder way than what you could do that so much easier this way. You know, it just doesn't make any sense to anybody why they would want to do anything more difficult or have difficulties in life. Think of the Hebrew men or Hebrew boys, if you will. It would have been much easier for them to just bow to the idol, right? But they sacrificed. They laid their lives down for the cause. 1 Corinthians 6. There were some people that were having difficulties in their congregations, and they were going back and forth, you know, arguing over money or property or whatever it was. And in verse 7 it says, "Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong?" You go to court, just take wrong. That don't make sense to the people of this world. To just take wrong? What do you mean? You're just going to suffer that? They owe you. They should not have treated you like that. You have that coming. And he tells them, why not just take the wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? It's hard to do, that's why. It's a sacrifice to do that. To be willing to say, you know what, I'm going to suffer this loss. For the gospel's sake, for my relationship with God's sake, for the gospel's sake, I want people to be saved. I want them to be delivered. I want them to know the mercy and the grace of God. And so I'm just going to forgive it. That's hard to do. Justice says, no, they owe me. They're going to pay me. And that's why they were having problems. But yet Paul is giving them a different way. And saying, well, why not just suffer it? Why not just turn the other cheek, if you will? It's hard to do. But if you look at it and you see it being practiced in front of you, you can see the value in it. And think, you know, that's an amazing thing. Yes. That somebody would be willing to do that. And take that on themselves. For the gospel's sake. For the testimony of the Lord's sake. For the value that comes from that. That's a powerful thing. That extends past this life here. And goes off into eternity. That's a valuable sacrifice. Ephesians chapter 5. And there's plenty of sacrifices that we can make in our lives, you know, down-to-earth things that we can do. But Ephesians 5 and 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Jesus Christ set the example of giving himself for the church as what? As a sacrifice. Husbands, love your wives that way. As a sacrifice. And it's not just husbands, but it's wives too. But the idea is that you give yourself and being willing to sacrifice and not, again, with that other verse where it says, suffer yourselves to be defrauded. Maybe you feel like you're not getting the your equal due or your half, you know, or this is 50-50, you know, what's going on? They're not doing their part, or I'm having to do too much, and the other's thinking the same thing, you know, and offering yourself as a sacrifice. Are you willing to do more? Are you willing to go to a further extent for the sake of this relationship, for the sake of your marriage, for the sake of your children? Are you willing to sacrifice for that? The value of it. Jesus was willing to sacrifice for us. And so it's just an opportunity again, where it doesn't have to be a tally sheet of everything's being, you know, yeah, we're balanced, okay? They did this, and I did that, and then they did this thing over here, and then I did this really big thing here, so that ought to be worth two or three things, right? We're going to keep this balance sheet going. No. Give of yourself. Be willing to sacrifice. Even when you think you're tired, even when you think that you've gone to the greatest extent and done the most that you could do, you know, give of yourself. That is the gospel way. Being willing to sacrifice yourself to give of yourself being in a sacrifice well-pleasing unto God. There's a verse in Acts that says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I pray that we would get a hold of that, and that it's not just monetarily. It's not just, physical in that regard, but it's more blessed to give of yourself than to have others given to you. It's a blessing to be an offering unto others and to serve others. And the Lord is well pleased with that. An offering acceptable unto the Lord. And that is what I want my life to be like. And I pray that would be the life that you would desire for yourself. It's not easy. Being a sacrifice is not easy. Allowing yourselves to be defrauded is not easy. Allowing yourself to feel like you're giving more than what you're getting back is not necessarily easy. But the fruits of that and what comes from that is a very valuable thing and very meaningful, and it's going to bless your life if you can really get a hold of that and give of yourself an offering unto the Lord, and give of yourself as an offering unto your brothers and sisters in Christ, and give of yourself as an offering unto the people without these walls that need the gospel preached to them, that need a testimony, that need a life of hope, and being willing to offer of yourself to provide that, because it's not easy to do. It's not easy to do to take your extra time that you have to spend it on somebody else. as a sacrifice. But it's a sacrifice that's well-pleasing to the Lord. And so I pray that the Lord would help us in this time, and that we don't just get so focused on ourselves, and that we would be willing to give of ourselves for the Lord and for the cause that He would have for us and for His will. And so I appreciate your time and attention this afternoon. That's my thoughts.